Healthcare costs in Kentucky continue to rise, imposing a heavy burden on businesses and other organizations in the state. Add in the expense of disability and workers' compensation, absenteeism, turnover, and decreased productivity, and it's easy to see that this is a serious concern both for individuals and businesses. To address this, UK's Institute for Workplace Innovation, or IWIN, recently compiled a comprehensive report that found promising practices at 23 organizations in Kentucky that contribute to a healthy workforce. Here to discuss the report with us is IWIN's Executive Director, Dr. Jennifer Swanberg. I'm Tom Goodell. Welcome to UK Perspectives, Dr. Swanberg.
Thank you.
Why did IWIN decide to take on the issue of health in the workplace?
The Institute decided to take this on for two primary reasons. First is that we were hearing from businesses throughout the Commonwealth of Kentucky, as well as our business partners, about the concerns they have about the health and wellness of their workers and the rising healthcare costs. I should note that at the Institute for Workplace Innovation, we lead an initiative called the Innovative Employer Roundtable. And it's a roundtable of right now 39 businesses throughout the Commonwealth of Kentucky who are committed to implementing innovative workplace practices that promote what we call a triple bottom line, which is they're committed to productivity, health, and work-life fit. And these businesses were coming to us for answers. How do we address these rising healthcare costs? So that was one reason why we did this. The other reason why is from, I'm a researcher, I'm a faculty member in the College of Social Work, and I study organizations. And I realized that when I started looking at the issue of what constitutes a healthy organization, I quickly learned that businesses are really focusing in on what we call education activities. So educating people about how to change their behavior. And this is really, really important. We want people to walk more, eat more, be healthier. But what businesses weren't doing is they weren't really looking at how their own organizational culture might contribute to ill health among their workers. So I and my team are really interested in trying to identify what were some of the promising practices that businesses were doing around a whole range of what we call healthy organizational practices. So what we did is not only did we talk to 23 businesses throughout the Commonwealth of Kentucky, but we also did a systematic review of the scientific literature to really understand what is a healthy organization. And these two practices or these two processes were happening simultaneously. And what we ended up with was something we call a health integrated model, which really tries to identify and explain what it fully takes to create a healthy organization.
Okay, well, you mentioned the health integrated model. Tell us more about that and how it works and what its implications are.
Sure. The health integrated model is a conceptual model that we developed that businesses can use to help guide their initiatives around healthy organizations. And what it is it has kind of five key dimensions that are necessary to create a healthy organization. The first is risk assessment. So we want to be able to we want organizations to integrate and implement strategies that assess the risk of their workers and then target areas proactively to both at the individual and organizational level. The second area of a health integrated model is something many of us are very familiar with, is education activities and resources. So this is where businesses try to educate people about diabetes, high blood pressure. Then there's something called supported environment. And this is about creating both a supportive physical environment and a social environment around healthy organizational practices. An example might be having healthy food in the workplace cafeteria, or creating initiatives within the workplace where coworkers support one another toward having healthy behaviors. A fourth area is something we call linkages. And this is where different wellness goals are linked with other workforce-related programs, including things like occupational safety, corporate social responsibility, employee engagement, work-life fit initiatives. A linkage initiative might be workplace flexibility, that someone might want to flex their starting and quitting time so they can train for their marathon. And then the fifth area of this health integrated model is something we call alignment. And this is where employee wellness is integrated into the organizational mission and core business objectives. So what we found is that you've got these five key dimensions, but then there's an organizational process that happens to integrate these different initiatives. So, for example, the first thing you might do is identify what the issue might be. Then you want to incentivize people to change their behavior. You want to evaluate whether the initiative you're working on is effective. And then there's something what we call demonstrate. And demonstrate is leadership's commitment to and support of employee well-being as a cornerstone of health and wellness initiatives. And then finally, there's something around the business process called communicate. So you want to communicate to your employees, your organization's commitment to creating health and wellness among the workforce.
So what were some of the promising practices at these 23 organizations that you worked with? What are some of the things that they're doing that help to address these five areas?
Sure. There's a range of different initiatives. So, for example, within risk recognition, there's initiatives such as what we call health risk assessments, screenings, and physicals. Eastern Kentucky University is a great example of the implementation of a risk recognition initiative with little or no cost. Their employee wellness team identified high blood pressure as a concern among many of their employers. So what they did is they used blood pressure screenings as a way to inform workers about matters that they might not have known otherwise. And they did this by using portable blood pressure monitors that they would take around different places on campus. And this way, they helped workers identify whether or not high blood pressure was a concern of theirs.
Did you find anyone who was using, or any business that was using, financial incentives as a way to get employees to behave more, well, in more healthy ways?
That's a great question. Yes, I think there's companies are using a variety of different strategies to incentivize their workforce. Central Bank, actually, maybe about a year ago, in order to incentivize their workers to participate in a health risk assessment, offered money to everybody who completed a health risk assessment. And I think they got something close to, if not 100% compliance because of this financial incentive.
Seems to me UK has been doing that for some time too.
That's exactly right. UK, I think, is really ahead of the curve when it comes to their health and wellness initiatives. They offer financial incentives. They have risk recognition initiatives. As we all know who work at UK, there's a variety of different education activities and resources. And I know they're also trying to have access to healthy foods on campus.
Be good to move some of those vending machines away or replace some of the candy bars with some bananas or something, though, I think.
That would be nice.
Now, what was the most surprising thing that you discovered in your research?
The most surprising thing was what organizations were doing with little or no money. That oftentimes when people think, oh, to take on this task of creating a healthy workforce, we really have to have a huge budget. And what we found is that companies, you know, across the 23 were accessing community resources, their local YMCAs or YWCAs. They were accessing yoga studios. They were also, this Eastern Kentucky University initiative, they were trying to identify low-cost, easy solutions to address some of the big problems that their workers are facing.
What's been the reaction of the businesses, both your partners in this process and also others you've presented this to? How have they reacted to this information?
Overall, it's been overwhelming. Companies are really excited to have a model and a set of kind of definitions to really understand what it means to create a healthy organization. But even more importantly, they're really excited to see what other companies are doing. Oftentimes, businesses will work in isolation. So to have a comprehensive report that highlights 23 companies that are implementing a range of different practices across these five different areas has been incredibly helpful to them. I actually had a call from the HR director at Community Trust Bank, Howard Blackburn, who called and said, you know, thank you. Thank you for doing this report. This is really helping our organization think more strategically about how we can integrate health and wellness into everything that we do within the organization.
You spoke a little bit ago about some organizations that might have concerns about the cost of implementing one of these programs. But I wonder, on the other side, how has the attempt to build a healthy organization at these businesses, how's that helped the bottom line, or has it?
There, in the report, there's a variety of different examples of companies that have been able to show a bottom line difference. And the way they've done this is through measurement. So as an example, a company may identify a particular health issue as a high risk for many of their employees. University of Louisville has done this. And then they create a variety of different strategies to go after this one particular issue. And then from there, they're able to monitor their healthcare claims over time and see what a difference it's made. And I think University of Louisville is an excellent example of an organization that was very strategic in its resources and in targeting certain problems and then measuring the outcome of that intervention that they tried.
Is the Healthy Organizations Report available online?
Yes, it is. It's at www.iwin.uky.edu.
I want to talk more broadly for a moment about your work. IWIN is the Institute for Workplace Innovation here at the University of Kentucky. What is your mission?
Our mission is to develop and disseminate new knowledge about the 21st century workplace in a way that creates work environments that promote employee health, work-life fit, and productivity. And the Institute is kind of comprised of two sets of activities. We have research. And we have research teams that are looking at a variety of different problems that organizations are facing. And then we also have a set of activities that engage businesses in implementing what we call innovative workplace practices. The Innovative Employer Roundtable is one. And then we also have a variety of other different initiatives that we lead to try to get businesses to rethink the way work is done in such a way that it promotes employee health, allows people to better manage work and family, and they're actually able to continue to be productive, engaged, and contribute to the organization's bottom line.
What is the big project that you're working on next? Or are you going to be spending most of the next several months following up on this Healthy Organizations project?
Great question. I think we've got several different initiatives ongoing. We are continuing to build on what we learned from the Healthy Organization Project. We're finishing up a study that looked at aging in work. It looked at how over, I think, 75 businesses in the Commonwealth of Kentucky are dealing with their aging workforce and identifying innovative and creative solutions to that problem. And then we've also just recently received a grant where we're looking at the occupational safety and health needs of Latino thoroughbred workers. And we're going to be studying kind of issues salient to that issue over the next 5 years.
Well, our guest has been Dr. Jennifer Swanberg, Executive Director of IWIN at the University of Kentucky. Podcasts of UK Perspectives, including the complete interviews, are available at wuky.org. For WUKY, I'm Tom Goodell.